Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here to wrap up the regular season and look into the playoffs. But first, how you doing over there, James? You hanging in?
Doing good. You know, there's a lot going on. Entrance to the new year, new decade. It's kind of cool. 2020. I just got a new podcast station from You Do It Electronics. You can see them at youdoitelectronics.com. Real nice, easy stuff. Plug and play. It's great over there. And then we also have the Miami Dolphins beating the Patriots, driving down the field with 2 minutes left and beating us to make us lose the bye. Just the whole collapse. I mean, this was supposed to be a joke. What were we, like 17-point favorites or something?
I think it was 16. Yeah, I'm glad you got some good news to ring in the new year with the new podcast station. Nice hookup there.
Oh, yeah.
When we were setting up, it took you less time to set up a brand new piece of equipment than it did for me to set up my normal everyday stuff that's already been linked with her. So props to that. And now back to the bad news. Is this the worst regular season loss in the Belichick era?
Yeah, I've heard that thrown around a little bit. It's up there. I almost feel like some of the blowouts are bad, too. Like, I don't know, like the Buffalo loss, what was that, 02 or something?
03.
Was it 03? I mean, you still won the Super Bowl, so. But that, I remember being like, holy crap, do these guys still have it? Yeah, there's been some real bad. The Kansas City one.
But the difference is this one cost them so much.
That's, right.
And the only thing I could really think of is at the end of the 2015 season, I reference the season as much. At the end, they lost two games to the Dolphins and Jets. Ends up pushing them back in the standings so they get the number two seed instead of the number one, even though they started the season 10-0, kind of reminiscent. Started the season 10-0, ended up dropping to the two seed. Also, the loss to Denver, the Brock Osweiler, CJ Anderson overtime loss, the snow out there, that was... Because that directly... I mean, all three of those losses in November into December cost them home field advantage. They end up having to go to Denver with a shitty offensive line, going silent count the entire time. Von Miller's teeing off. Brady gets hit more than he's been hit in any game in his entire career. They end up losing by 2 points. And Peyton Manning's corpse limps its way to a Super Bowl so he can tie Eli
for second two. Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I might go, I don't think it's as bad as that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think this how bad this game is really comes with what follows it. You know, like how if they somehow go on an absolutely epic run and face a really, really tough road ahead and somehow get to the Super Bowl, well, then this loss looks not as bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really, at this moment, it's tough. It's tough for me to judge just because it's like we've seen some bad losses and good things came from it. And we've also seen bad losses, like you said, in 2015. I feel like 2010, you know, the Jets loss at home in the playoffs, but that was a playoff game. You know, there's been some bad ones.
Well, yeah, you could point directly to last year, losing on the miracle in Miami, all the laterals, they score, Gronkowski trips over himself, and they end up having to go to Kansas City and play in the AFC Championship.
Right, and we still won.
Last year, I would have said that might have been the worst loss I've seen out of them in the regular season, and it turns out they were able to take care of business in Kansas City. Could happen again this year. Couple things. The you'll hear all the time that I think it's been like the last four seasons, only either the one or two seed have made the Super Bowl on both sides. And they'll point to that as importance of the bye, which undoubtedly is important. The other thing, they also point to home fields in the playoffs as like whatever it is, 70% of home team in the playoffs.
But yeah, what's it, the Super Bowl teams of the last, what, 6 years have been in a bye or something?
Yeah, it's been a while running. And what they fail to, they say it like it's only the bye that gives you the advantage. It's only home field that gives you. It's also the fact that the team with the best record gets the bye or gets home field. Both of those things.
Yep.
So they're just a better team to start with. You can't just point to the bye and be like, that's the causative variable anyway.
Right. I see what you're saying.
It drives me nuts. It's like they get the bye because they're a better team. Maybe they win the game just because they're a better team, not because of who's in the crowd.
Yeah, it's they should be winning anyways.
Yeah, and then the other thing that we've all been hearing all week, we're recording this on Friday, the day before the game. The that Belichick and Brady have never won a Super Bowl while without having a bye. You know who else hasn't won a Super Bowl without having a bye? Almost fucking everybody.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
So it's your odds go down exponentially.
They do, yeah, but you still got Belichick and Brady who've won six of them. Belichick's right. Got eight rings. And they,
so you're not counting them out.
I am very close to counting them out. Extremely close. Look, we were just chatting before the podcast. They might have the most difficult road in the entire playoff picture.
This is one of the most difficult playoff roads I've seen in a long time.
For any of the division winners, let's just say, put the wild card teams aside that have to play on the road exclusive. Patriots are hosting Titans, arguably the hottest team in the NFL. We'll talk about them at length later in the show.
Yeah.
Maybe the hottest team in the NFL, a really tough matchup for them because they have such a good power running. Then if they are somehow able to win that game, they have to go to Kansas City. Then if they win that game, more than likely, they have to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And play the best team in the NFL right now.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet.
It really is. I mean, you didn't want Tennessee. Everyone talked about last week how, if Tennessee goes to Kansas City, Tennessee could beat them again because Tennessee did beat Kansas City. It was like week 10 or something like that. And, you know, we'll get to that game. But that scenario that you wanted someone to beat Kansas City comes to New England. It's supposed to be really shitty weather and they have a really good run game. So it's like, this is the team you didn't want to see. Mike Vrabel's not afraid of us. Then you go to Kansas City, which I think is the most doable, is more doable than Baltimore. Then even if you beat Kansas City, which is nice, you get, like you said, go to Baltimore. And we already lost there, and they're the hottest team. The only thing that I think might screw them is they're going to be resting for like 3 weeks, which we've seen kind of hurts teams.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we've seen it really bite people in the ass before. I mean, that would be fantastic if that somehow happened. But
yeah, I guess on that Baltimore vein, which let's just assume for the sake of this that the Patriots win, they end up going to Kansas City, and then the winner of the Texans-Bills game goes into Baltimore. Who would you think has a better chance of upsetting the Raiders?
That's a tough one. I would almost pick for Houston just because they got so embarrassed last time.
Right.
That, like, you gotta think, I mean, they're a good team. We saw them, I mean, they played us well. It's like, you gotta think they'd be able to go in there and actually score because what they did to their offense last time made no sense.
Yeah, maybe. But
the Bills played them hard. The Bills played them really good. Yeah. I just don't see the Bills going that far. I don't see the Bills beating Houston, to be honest.
I actually think I'm going to pick the Bills.
Really?
Straight up, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I really like that defense. Yeah. I'm going to take the Bills in that.
All right. Well then.
Okay.
Should we talk about some Miami?
Yeah, before we move on, let's just talk about this dumpster fire of a game.
So the reason the Patriots lost is because me and Sean were at the game together.
Yeah.
Every time we've gone to a game, I think any big game at least, they've lost. And I thought about this before I accepted the tickets, but it was a great deal and they were great tickets. And it was Miami. So I was like, well, we can't lose. No way we would be able to. And then we go and they still lose.
Yeah. We thought this was going to be a layup game. So did everybody else. You mentioned the point spread at the beginning. And yeah, the last game we went to before this, where we thought we learned our lesson, was the 2009 playoff game against the Ravens.
We haven't done it since.
Haven't done it since because we thought we learned our lesson. And then we made the same mistake against that. At least it was a closer game then, but whew, this was a tough one. The Pats get out to an early hole, down 10-0, aided by Brady's terrible pick six. Terrible. I mean, yeah, awful. What was he looking at? And that ended
He overthrew Sony and he underthrew Edelman.
Yeah, it was
right
like
to the defender.
He threw it directly. Yeah, that one's painful. Ends up being the difference in the game. I mean, so does is the difference in the game. But they're able to then catch up and they tie the game at 10-10 by the last 2 minutes of the first half. This is what I want to talk about for just a couple minutes. What the heck happened at the end of the first half? We stopped the Dolphins with a minute 35 to go. It's now fourth down they're at their own 30. It's not like they're threatening us. They're going to punt it. Minute 35, we have all three timeouts. We're coming off back-to-back scoring drive.
Yeah.
Yet, Belichick decides to not call a timeout. The Dolphins run 40 seconds off the clock, punt it, Pats get the ball at their own 20-ish, and then they proceed to run the ball, do nothing with it. After the game, they asked Belichick about it. He goes, well, we wanted to see if we could get something going on that drive, and our first play wasn't a real positive play, and so we decided to run it again and end the half. Really? You didn't call, why didn't you call the timeout at a minute 35?
Yeah, and
if
get some time.
If you wanted to make a drive, that's when you call the timeout, when you know you're going to be able to save 40 seconds.
He's done things like this before this season. There's been a couple things throughout the season where the time, you know, before the second half, we've blown it. Wasn't there like a kick or something several weeks ago we blew? Then there was the two-point conversion where we sent out the team, and then we called the timeout, and we brought in the two-point conversion team, and they didn't get it, and we lost the timeout that cost us later in the game. There's been things like this where it's almost like he's not – he hasn't – like, normally he's, like, lights out with that stuff. Like, it's all perfect. So I don't know what's been going on this season with it, but before the second half – or before the half ends, he's been way more just out on a limb with some stuff he's done. Like, he hasn't cared as much.
I don't get it, because we were receiving at the – beginning of the second half. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity. They talk about this all the time. Score at the end of the first half, score at the beginning of the second half. You blow a game wide open. Our previous possession, 5 plays, 82 yards, 2 minutes and 17 seconds for a touchdown. That was the drive we're coming off of. Miami goes 3 and out, gains 0 yards. Patriots have the chance to get the ball back with a minute 30 and 2 timeouts, and they decide, nah. We're not going to try to drive it. We're not going to call that timeout. I mean, we have plenty of time to get a field goal. Nick Folk has been playing lights out, knock on wood. Yeah. And that one drove me nuts.
I know.
And then they go into halftime. They come out in the second half. They go 3 and out just like that. And Miami scores a touchdown. And we're playing catch up the rest of the game.
Yeah. And the other thing about Miami, too, is they didn't turn the ball over.
Two weeks in a row, no takeaways.
No takeaways from this defense 2 weeks in a row. And I'll get more to that going forward, but I just, you know, they made no mistakes. It's something about, I want to know, say that Flores really got, you know, Flores and Chad O'Shea really know our team, and they got their offense to play well, and I'm a little worried that it was almost like a script for maybe how to throw on us. Outside of Gilmore played really terribly too. I don't know, I think they basically had him give Devontae Parker a huge cushion all game. He really didn't get his hands on him at all, which he's like the best press corner in the league. That's his thing. And they're like, yeah, don't touch him. So he ran all over the place. And Gilmore was like peeking in on others' routes a couple plays. Like he would get hesitated because, you know, Fitzpatrick would pump one way and he would almost go to like he's trying to snipe that. Devontae Parker would be wide open. So I don't know what the hell they told him in this.
Yeah, it was a really bizarre game for the pasty. Ryan Fitzpatrick played great, and it looked like anytime he threw the ball, it was going to be complete. I mean, he goes 28 of 41 for 320, averages almost 8 yards per attempt. His QBR is 84.
Yeah. I mean, it was the combination of Brian Flores knowing how this defense works and Fitzmagic. Maybe. Magic came out.
But it also just seemed like our players were getting beat. I mean, Patty Chung got beat by Mike Gesicki a bunch of times, notably for the last touchdown, the winning one.
Yeah, and they didn't change anything for that.
Gilmore just, easily his worst game of the season, lost him defensive player of the year. There's no way you give it to him now.
I mean, he was almost always on Parker, and Parker had 8 for 137.
Yeah, when targeting Gilmore, Fitzpatrick was 7 of 9 for a buck 18, when Gilmore was the closest guy and covered. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad, and it's not like Jonathan Jones played much better. Do you know, this is a telling stat. In this game, Isaiah Ford had more receiving yards than anyone on the Patriots. Who the hell is Isaiah Ford?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They had, it's a joke. And Philip Dorsett had one catch for 50 yards, and our second leading receiver was Alandon Roberts, who plays linebacker.
Yeah, I know, right? And Philip Dorsett, He did get 2 PIs. I mean, I feel like that's his game now.
That is his whole game.
His game's turned into, like, trying to get PI. It's like, what happened to you, dude? Like, why are you doing that?
That's all he does.
Catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the Patriots offense that lost it. 24 points was enough.
Should be enough against
this team. It was enough to beat this Miami defense. I really don't think the offense was calling. Outside of that Alandon Roberts play, I don't think they really schemed anything up. I really think the offense was kind of saving plays, because there was a few plays we really didn't see the end around. We only saw it once from Nikhil. We know that works. They didn't really put him on any of those go routes, which a couple weeks ago really worked. So I feel like the offense was like, we don't need to do a lot to win this game. We can save it. And Belichick and the team thought, you know, the defense should be able to stuff this offense. And the sad part is it was our secondary that blew it. The best part of our team, where we have the most talent. I know guys are banged up, but the most sure-handed part of the team, like best group possible, most talent, was the ones that blew it. Because the D-line, you know, they didn't play great, but they stopped the run. I mean, they really had no running game. D-line played good there. They got okay pressure, not great all the time. I mean, there was a couple times where he had too much time, but he was basically just throwing over the middle.
Yeah, it was basically just quick reads, quick throws, a lot of completion in the chains.
I mean, that's what it was, and that's, you know, our secondary a lot of the time. It's like, guys, what are you doing? And they were playing off coverage. They were, like, giving them way too much credit for I don't know what.
I don't know what either. And Albert Wilson must have dropped, like, 3 passes.
Yeah, they didn't look great, the receivers.
It's not like they played lights out. They definitely outcoached the Patriots, hands down.
Yep, they got outcoached.
Which makes sense why Chad O'Shea got fired the next day.
I know, right? And they brought in Chan Gailey. They said he hasn't coached in 3 years.
He's ancient.
He was terrible when he coached.
When he coached the Jets?
Didn't he coach Buffalo, too?
Oh my goodness, I think he did. You're right.
I remember Buffalo being awful.
He's been all over the place. Yeah, I guess for the offense.
I mean, Brady looked really bad.
Brady looked extremely inaccurate.
And, he threw that pick. In the second half, he looked better. I feel like he started completing passes, but he must have that elbow issue.
Did he look so accurate against the Bills?
That's what I don't understand. But someone said, I overheard on the radio that he had different shoes on, and he had a toe injury at one point this season. So maybe that's something. I don't know.
Which boils down on the injury report for that.
Because it's all smoke and mirrors there. They all just, I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing on defense I wanted to bring up is, you know, when Chung's getting burned against the tight end, can't we put, like, Jawan Williams on him? The dude's 6'4", and he seems like he can run.
Yeah, but can he come in and play the run game?
He's huge. He's bigger than Chung.
Yeah, but Chung's a great tackler.
It's like, I know. Well,
Devin McCourty's a great tackler. It's not because he's over 200 pounds.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's like, cover him.
I know, yeah.
The tight ends have been killing us. Chung has not been able to keep, you know, he's usually our tight end killer.
Mm-hmm.
This season, he hasn't been able to pull it off.
No, yeah. He's been around for a while and injured almost every I love the guy to death, but he has been getting killed by the tight end. So we mentioned Brady being inaccurate. Brian Flores' main coaching point that I saw defensively was Edelman's out of the game. They just double covered him, took him out. Our running game was lively.
Pretty good.
You would have thought they would have devoted more resources to that, but that wasn't the case. Atlanta Roberts made a great catch. I mean, Brady didn't put that ball in his chest like you would think you would have to with the linebacker playing fullback. He adjusted to it, did a spinorama, and got into the end zone. Great play. He is beloved on that team. You and I were watching the sidelines. Like, the whole defensive unit practically
came out so excited
to go celebrate with him. Yeah, I mean,
that was pretty good. You called that play, too. So they ran that play earlier, and nobody covered Landon Roberts.
And they came back to
nobody.
The second half, yeah.
And they came back to it. So that's something I think it's funny enough, he's starting to do pretty good on offense. And, you know, they've coached that dude up. You gotta give him credit.
He brings an identity to the offense, which isn't there. There's an attitude when he's on the field that, we can run the ball now.
Yeah, literally. I mean, Burkhead's been playing really well. Sony looked pretty good. Sony was over 4 yards again, average. So, yeah, they're starting to run. I mean, they didn't really use James White in this game. Again. Yeah,
not until really the second half.
So, and that's when the offense started looking better. So it's almost like they thought it was going to be a cakewalk. They could kind of chill. Brady's not feeling good or whatever the hell's going on with him. We don't need to score that much. We don't need to bring out that much. Let's save it for the playoffs. We'll have a bye. That's what I think they were thinking. Yeah. And then Miami comes in and slaps them in the face and goes, you think you're getting the bye, do you?
Once again, coaching. That's the theme of the year, probably.
It's the theme of the year, coaching. And there's no coincidence that we lost most of our staff the last 2 years.
and probably going to lose more as Josh McDaniels and Joe Judge are already
They're both gone. So those were the only two holdovers, really.
At the coordinator level.
At the coordinator level, you know, basically besides a couple guys. It's like the whole team has been gutted.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get Chad O'Shea back. I liked him.
I like Chad O'Shea too, and we talked about this previously that Chad O'Shea was the red zone coordinator.
Yeah, and he could come be our offensive coordinator. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be pretty wild. I'm not convinced McDaniels this season.
Oh, I think he is. I think he's gone.
To where?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. F that.
No, I think that's
way.
A great spot for him.
That's a terrible.
Yep, I think he's going to go to Cleveland. He'll probably trade OBJ, and he'll coach up Baker. I think that's what he wanted to do.
He wanted to do what?
I think he wanted Baker Mayfield, so he's going to want to go coach him.
Why didn't he go last year? I guess they didn't interview him.
They didn't offer him a job last year. I remember there was a report like, oh, he thought he was going to get interviewed by Cleveland, and he didn't.
Maybe. I don't know. Baker's not that special.
I mean, I don't think he is, but I'm just saying, like, that's a deal. Or the Panthers, like, that's a good job.
Panthers is a good job. You'd have to have a plan for. But back to the Browns just for a sec. They just got rid of Freddie Kitchens after a year. They got rid of John Dorsey, who was their GM for the last 3 years. He's the one that drafted. They're cleaning house in order, this is my read on it, in order to offer maximum power to a head coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is to go, look, you're going to go the Kyle Shanahan route where we're going to bring you in. You have final decision on all personnel movement, and then you get to choose whoever your GM is. And really, in most of these cases, they just look on TV and they go, I want that guy to be Mike Mayock, John Lynch. These guys are figurehead GMs.
Yeah, right.
The coach has final say on the personnel. So I think they're clearing that out. It's pretty telling to me that Matt Rhule, the head coach at Baylor, just said, I don't even want to interview. I don't even want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm already out.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's probably going to be the next head coach for the Panthers. I may be out on a limb there. But yeah, I think it's pretty telling. And look, Josh McDaniels went, his only head coaching experience was in Denver. And he just blew up that team. He traded Brandon Marshall. He traded Jay Cutler. Couldn't deal with the personalities. Or I don't know about couldn't, but didn't do it well.
No.
And Cleveland has the biggest personalities in the league right now. Is that really where you want to go?
Yeah, but I think they're completely fine with blowing up the team. That's the difference. Okay. Denver had stuff going on, and then they got rid of them all. I think in Cleveland, as long as you stick with Baker, which I think he will do, they'll be fine with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus there, it was like, they were like, no, we have a team. What are you doing? Cleveland, it's like, well, we thought we had a team, and we don't. So do whatever the fuck you want. Just keep the quarterback. Be like, okay.
Odell Beckham needs to. I don't know how you coach that guy.
Watch him. I wouldn't. I mean, this is a ridiculous scenario, but it's kind of funny that it could happen. Josh McDaniel just goes there and trades OBJ here. Not that I want him, but I've heard of that multiple times.
That would be hilarious.
And that literally is actually on the table now.
That is right there with the Kevin McHale trading Kevin Garnett to the Celtics to his old teammate Danny Ainge.
Yeah,
for pennies,
literally.
Yeah, that would be an interesting scenario. But that dude is straight cancer. I mean, we didn't want Antonio.
He's not Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has got way worse issues.
He is worse, definitely. Did you see what he did with the Saints? He gets a workout with the Saints. They go, listen, don't bring an entourage. Don't bring any attention. We want to see.
Oh, this was OBJ?
No, this was Antonio Brown.
I heard this about Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, just for the listener. They're like, don't bring anybody. Just, we want to keep this low key. We want to interview you. We want to see what you can do on the field. And, you know, keep it low key.
Yeah.
And he shows up with his whole entourage and a camera crew. And the Saints are like, nah, we're not interested.
Yeah.
And then Antonio Brown has the gall to come out and say that the Saints only asked him to visit for a media stunt for them. They needed a publicity stunt. The Saints needed a publicity stunt. Not Antonio Brown, who hasn't played in the NFL in 4 months.
Jesus.
He's not the one that needed it, even though he made it into a publicity
stunt. I didn't know he came out and said that. So he's nuts. He's not playing.
No, he needs some help. I don't know what type of delusion he's living inside.
Well, it's pretty funny too, because whoever's like taking care of his public life while he's not in the public eye, like when he's not interviewing for teams, they're like saying the right things, and you're like, oh, well, that doesn't sound that bad. seems like he kind of has a clue what's going on, and then he just shows up somewhere, and they're like, oh my God, this dude is a clown. Like, he's clearly not writing these things. Yeah. That is not him at all. Like, the tweets, like, I'm sorry, I'm so thankful, blah, blah, I wish I had another chance. It's like, that sounds kind of normal.
Yeah.
But then he shows up somewhere, and it's fucking banana land. He's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, he's completely different. While we're talking about coaching stuff, Ron Rivera gets fired by the Panthers December. Gets back on his feet pretty quickly. He's with Washington. He's in a what a bad situation it is. But it's good that the Redskins got rid of Bruce Allen.
Wait a second. Dan Schneider showed up to the press conference January 2nd and goes, "Happy Thanksgiving." First of all, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's like, what?
Just misspoke.
Misspoke.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. That was the first thing he said.
And well, he wanted to say Happy New Year. Then
they forgot to give him. They didn't have a jersey to give Rivera to hold up.
You give jerseys to coaches?
Apparently.
What?
Yeah. My buddy, who's a Redskins fan, said it. He was like, bullshit. Still Bush League. Don't know what's going on.
Oh, it's definitely like they're in shambles.
I'm surprised he wanted to go there.
Yeah, well, he knew they really need some discipline. That's pretty much his MO. So, yeah. I mean, well, best of luck to him. That team is devoid of talent. They have no culture. There's nobody in the front office. The owner has steered them directly into the dirt multiple. Yeah, tough for him. But the Panthers' job remains open. The Giants get rid of Pat Shurmur. They hang on to Dave Gettleman, the GM, who, did you see his press conference? Talk about a moron. Holy cow. Oh,
really?
Yeah. they ask him, they're like, do you think that coaches will be reluctant to sign up to be the New York Giants coach because they'll have to work with you? And he's like, the notion that I find it hard to believe that anybody thinks I'm difficult to work with. And, you know, any coaches that come in here, I'm just going to sit across from them and give them the opportunity to say, hey, Dave, what up? That was his answer. What? Yeah. I'm going to give him the opportunity to say, hey, Dave, what up? Dude, you idiot.
No, my God. Your
draft picks look like it, too. Yeah, so that job just doesn't look as good at all because he's still there, and Daniel Jones is.
Yeah.
And then what else you got? You got Cleveland, Jason
Garrett. Well, Cowboys just opened up. They finally fired him.
Good deal. Wow, that took long.
Yeah, there was a rumor out that they were firing the whole staff.
They might want to do that. The defense was piss poor.
And they should have been good. So, yeah, we'll see.
You could keep Kellen Moore, though. I think they still had a top three offense.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
That's true.
In terms of total offense, yeah, they were very high up.
Yep. So Jason Garrett's finally gone. Maybe that team with all that talent can actually be something.
Yeah, well, do you hear they want Mike Zimmer, possibly?
Oh, God, why?
I guess Mike Zimmer was a defensive coordinator for them for a long time.
No, so Jerry wants him.
A loud water bottle.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, so maybe the familiarity makes it easier. Zimmer has 1 year left on his deal with the Vikings. Some people are saying if he can't get past this first round, which is a
tough he's test. Done.
Yeah.
He's done. I think he's done. I don't think they win. I think he's done. But so funny. Jerry has to pick someone he's worked with for years and years always.
Maybe, yeah. But
I could see that. He might be good there.
I've been saying for a year or two that Lincoln Riley is going to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. It just makes too much sense.
Who is that again?
He's the head coach at Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
He's the one that coached Baker, Kyler Murray, this year Jalen Hurts. They've all been terrific college quarterbacks. Now, big caveat, they play in the Big 12. Everybody looks great in the Big 12. Bryce Petty lit it on fire.
Yeah, there you go.
But Lincoln Riley, he's got a little Southern accent. He's from the Texas-Oklahoma area. But previously, Jerry Jones hired Barry Switzer, who was a head coach at Oklahoma. Barry Switzer wins a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I could see it. I could really
Jimmy
see
Jones'
it.
Team, but yeah, Jimmy Johnson. Sorry.
Yeah, so I could see that. Doug Marrone sticking around with the Jags. Why?
Yeah, I don't know what that is about. Like, is he just now going to be like one of these coaches that just the owner likes him, so that's it?
It's kind of like, remember Jack Del Rio in Jacksonville?
Yeah, they just don't like the fire guys. He was there forever.
There for a long time. That was with previous ownership there for a long time.
Did they even have a good season? I don't think they ever did.
They went to the playoffs a couple times with David Garrard.
Correct, that's right.
Garrard. Okay.
Alrighty.
So the playoffs are set. The Chiefs, with the win, move up into the two spot. Titans get the win over the Texans. They link up, they lock down the six spot. Bills had nothing to play for. Texans had four after the Chiefs had won. Patriots at three. What else we got? The Eagles won and got in. And then the best game of last week, which was one of the better games of the season, Sunday Night Football, Niners-Seahawks.
Yeah, that was a really good game. Niners did it.
Niners pulled it out. Yeah, at the end, everybody was talking about the almost definitive pass interference on third and goal.
I don't remember that play. I don't know if I saw that play.
Boxer got tackled in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
They declined to review it, the whole thing.
Right.
But you got to play. You're not playing against the referee. You're playing against the other team. And the Niners held them at the one-yard line two times.
Yeah. Plus
the Seahawks, the delay of game penalty after they converted that first down.
What the hell was that?
And they just stayed in the huddle. I'm watching the play clock going, what's happening? Why are you still in the huddle? Four.
Same. I was like, am I missing something? Now, I don't know if that's something they didn't reset the clock and screw them or something like that. But
it was just a first down. You don't need to reset the clock.
Yeah, Seahawks didn't look that great.
But they came within a yard of beating 49ers, and the Niners are the number one seed in the West, and I think probably the best team in the West.
You think so?
In the NFC.
I don't think so.
They're definitely better than the Packers. Could be the same, but the Niners already beat
them. Yeah, that was a ridiculous game, though.
Well, guess where the rematch would happen?
San Francisco.
And New Orleans is a heck of a lot better in a dome.
Yep.
Seahawks now have to travel to Philadelphia in a game that's, I mean, virtually a coin flip for me.
Yeah, really. I mean, but Philadelphia has nobody.
Nobody.
They're like
on
so
offense,
injured.
Yeah, it's absurd how injured they are on offense. They have to win this game in order for DeSean Jackson to be eligible. That would be something, but in the meantime, they got to play with Boston Scott and whoever the hell else they can line up out wide. But yeah, let's talk about the AFC. So the first game is Bills Texans. We went over that briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the night game. They finagled both AFC teams on Saturday. I think it's because the Bills-Texans game is the worst game of the weekend, and they always put that as the first game. And then they were like, well, we still want to get the Patriots on nighttime.
Right.
Because they have such a draw, and everybody wants to see them lose. And so then they put them up in nighttime, and then they got all the NFCs on Sunday. But then in the divisional round, do you see this?
Yeah.
Instead of just being smart about it and putting both of the AFC games on Saturday, and then they didn't do it. They split them up. So that,
really?
Yeah. So that between the two AFC teams that are going to win on Saturday, one of them is going to get to play in a 7-day week, and the other one will get to play in an 8-day week. How do you figure that out?
Yeah, I know. Kind of crap.
Okay. Well, let's get into the Titans.
Yeah, how'd they figure that the Eagles game, Seahawks-Eagles, was the 4:40 on Sunday?
Well, they couldn't put it at 1 o'clock because then it'd be 10 a.m. West Coast.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Titans. Titans this year are 10th in points scored, 12th in points against, which sounds really good and balanced when you figure there's only 12 teams that make the playoffs. Doesn't sound that good, like right at the bottom of the pile. The big asterisk on there is Marcus Mariota started the first six games. Tannehill comes in week 7 against the Chargers. They miraculously win that on some buffoonery on 4th and goal from the 1-yard line. Or just the first and goal from the 1 yard. I don't know how that happened, but that was a wild finish. Tannehill leads them to a 7-3 record since then. They are the number one team in red zone offense, converting 75% possession to touchdown.
Really?
Yep.
Wowzers.
And Tannehill has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL since he took over. He's seeing 70% of his passes. For reference, Brady is at 60. Tannehill leads the NFL over that stretch with 9.6 yards per attempt. It's crazy. 22 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, and he's providing benefits.
Yeah.
They're a completely different team since he took over. Explosive offense. Like I said, great in the red zone. One of the things that nobody seems to be mentioning is the fact that they, up until this very last week, when they played the Texans, who had nothing to play for, the Titans had turnovers in 10 consecutive. Every single game Tannehill started up until the last game was for the Texans.
Really?
They had turnovers in every single one of those games, most of the games with multiple.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They cough it up. And the Patriots' MO for the first 15 weeks of the season was, we take it away.
We take turnovers. We take the ball.
And then it hasn't happened the last 2 weeks. I don't know exactly why that's the case.
No, their turnovers just has been mostly fumbles, picks. What do you think? Just a mishmash?
Mostly fumbles. Well Tannehill only has 6 interceptions.
Right. So the other thing about the Titans that they are the hottest team in the NFL, but their run basically since since Tannehill took over has been pretty sad. Outside of the Chiefs game at home that they won, they really haven't beat anybody. And they've the road games they've played have been pretty pedestrian. And they lost to the Panthers on the road.
Right.
They lost to the Broncos was already there. They lost at Houston came down. They lost to them. The only road game they really won that was decent was Texans last week, and the Texans didn't play anybody. So they really haven't beat anybody. You know, they lost to the Saints. The Saints came in town, beat them. They looked like they looked like they belonged for the first half. Second half was a different story.
I don't know. I thought they were in that game till the very end. There was a really crappy call on
They gave up a lot of points in the second half, though.
I know, but seven of those were right off of a fumble return, and then they ended up converting on Michael's record-breaking catch. But they were pretty close in that Saints game, and that was a Saints team that was playing for a lot. The game before that, when they played the Texans, that was a back-and-forth game. Titans-Texans. Texans ended up pulling it out at the end, some Deshaun Watson magic. But yeah, like you mentioned, the other teams they played: Chargers, Buccaneers, Panthers, Jaguars, Colts, Raiders. None of those teams.
No, I mean, and when they played the Colts and the Raiders, it's late in the season. Both those teams the wheels had fallen off. They looked great 6 weeks prior, but at that point they were done. Raiders were in the middle of a six-game slide. Colts were in the middle of a multiple-game slide. Jags have just been terrible. The real only game that was impressive during that run was really the Chiefs. And that was Mahomes' first game back, right?
Mahomes was back for that game, and that was terribly mismanaged game by and
yeah, the Chiefs defense looked awful.
Yeah, but the Titans did enough to win that game, and props be to them. But should be noted that was two.
Yeah.
Yep. So you could say you mentioned they're the hottest team in the NFL. I would definitely say the Ravens are the hottest team. But the Titans, from how they started the season to how they finished, were the biggest turnaround.
Right.
Where they got real hot for a while. They played some poor competition, took advantage of that, and when we got this far into talking about the Titans, didn't even mention Derrick Henry. Guy led the NFL in rushing. He's averaging over 100 yards per game. He's got 16 touchdowns, over 5 yards per carry.
Dude's killing it.
He kills it, and he breaks big runs, big runs. He can also convert screen passes into big runs. So
you think he's the best in the league?
Maybe. I know it's hard. He's probably he's the best running back to hand the ball off to. But there are guys that make such a difference in the passing game. Christian McCaffrey, top of that list. Saquon Barkley's great in the passing game. Ezekiel Elliott should be more utilized in the passing. That they bring another dimension that he really doesn't bring. He's not a route runner. He's not gonna beat people like that. You could toss a screen.
Yep.
But yeah, he's been terrific. This has been a great season for him. How fitting that he's going into a contract negotiation.
Right.
Also on offense, A.J. Brown, rookie from Ole Miss. He was kind of overshadowed going into the draft by his college teammate, Deke Metcalf. But A.J. Brown was a better college player, and he's a physical specimen as well.
I wanted him so bad in the draft.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be great, and he's killing it.
He's killing it. He's over
the last, 10 weeks?
Really, since Tannehill took over.
Yeah.
No coincidence. He's got 8 touchdowns, over a grand in receiving yards on the season. He's hot. And, he's
averaging 20 yards a catch.
Yeah.
It's a lot. He's only got 52 receptions for 1,000. That's really damn good.
He's good after the catch, strong on the ball. Yeah. He's a terrific player, and it's tough to recognize that, you know, N'Keal Harry was the first receiver drafted. And I know he sat out half the season, and he showed good signs. But AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, what's the guy from Washington? Terry McLaurin. Some of these guys look outstanding already.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikhil's just taking his time. But we're going to need him to step up in this game. Now let's talk about the defense. A lot of
familiar. I think Nikhil's going to step it up. I think that go route he runs on the sidelines, they ran it twice against the Chiefs. Was it the Chiefs? And he got a PI on one, and he caught the other one, but Edelman went offsides, and it looked like he would be unstoppable. And they haven't run it since. Yeah. Haven't run it since.
Should probably go back to that.
Yeah.
defensively, the Titans are somewhat average. They've had a couple injuries. Malcolm Butler is out for this. They're 21st in the league, defensive in total, 24th in passing, 12th in...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're so-so. You'll recognize some of these names. Jarrell Casey is a real good player up front. at a tackle. Inside linebacker, Rashawn Evans, kid from Alabama that I wanted us to draft. Real athletic dude. On the outside, their leading sacker is outside backer Harold Landry, the top 20 pick out of Boston College. Another, like, real dip your shoulder, get around the edge type of pass rush.
Yep.
On the back end, Kevin Byard, the team leading interceptor. He's been a Pro Bowler a few times. He can picks a couple years. Kenny Vaccaro at strong safety has kicked around a little bit. First round pick, Adoree Jackson a few years back. Never been too impressed with him. More of a returner.
Yep.
But he's not going to have to cover anybody good in this game because Logan Ryan, their best defensive player, is going to be locked down on him, almost positive.
That'll be a good matchup.
God damn it. Logan Ryan is so good. Listen to some of these stats. He's the team's leading tackler. He's a cornerback.
Yeah.
Leads the team in tackles. He's got 4 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, and 4.5 sacks. He's a cornerback.
It's really good. Look out. He's turned unbelievable, huh? He was really worth that contract. He's also
the best coverage player. It's like...
So the one... Yeah.
How is he? He's so balanced. He does absolutely everything.
Yeah, he's really good. It's funny that he was really good when he left, but he's much better. He's definitely better now. The one thing I will say about this defense, when you look at a team and you look at their total sack leader or total tackle leaders, and 2 of the 4 guys and their top 4 guys is are secondary players. I mean, it's a bad defense. That's a bad. 2 of the top 4 guys in tackles. You compare them to a Patriots team that's a good defense, they don't have any secondary players in their top 4. Cordy sneaks in at 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not good. Whatever happened to Malcolm Butler? Does he play?
He's injured. He's on IR.
Okay. I mean, yeah, their defense, it's really, I'm not afraid of their defense really at all. I don't think that they're really going to, you know, give us a tough time. I feel like we played a Buffalo defense and tore them up. The real issue is the rain. It's supposed to be raining, of course, Saturday night, which we can run the ball against these guys, I believe. Since our run is, you don't think so?
I'm not that worried about the weather. If it rains, if it snows, I feel like Brady is better equipped to handle that than Tannehill is. And I don't think their offense clearly leans on the run. Mm-hmm. Our offense is more balanced, so maybe a hit to the Patriots passing game is more impactful than a hit to the Titans passing game.
Yeah.
But I mentioned those Tannehill stats. I mean, that's no joke.
Complete, you can throw the ball.
50% down the field. I think that would be a big hindrance to them. And if they're limited at all, that's just all the more reason the Pats can focus on the run.
That's true. Yeah, he might not be able to throw in the rain. He's been in Miami for years.
Played college at Texas. Yeah.
Tennessee's warm. It's going to be cold and raining and snowing. They said mix of rain and snow.
Perfect.
Which is awful for, you know, a southern guy to throw in. I don't know how they're going to do it. So that's good. I mean, they're giving up 4 yards a carry for rushing yards. I mean, so I think we'll be able, like I said, I think we can run the ball and that will help us.
Yeah, they're not that stout. Up front. I mean, Jarrell Casey is the guy I mentioned before. They have some other fatties, but they play that 3-4 defense. You know, you got Mike Vrabel as the head coach. Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator, so a lot of overlap between Patriots and Titans coaching. Was defensive coordinator for years for the Patriots, I think like
2009 he got fired, I thought.
I think I just nailed it.
There you go. There you go.
Dean Pease is he's a 3-4 defensive coordinator, so that's why they run that scheme. And that feeds into a lot of the guys they ended up drafting. Harold Landry's inside backer, Rashawn Evans on the inside. Wesley Woodyard is going to get some time. He's like one of those London Fletcher type players who every time you see him, you're like, this guy's really good. How come he just bounces around and never gets any credit, all that stuff? So we'll see some of him as well. But they're not a tremendous rush the passer.
There's not a lot there on defense besides just don't throw at Logan Ryan. You just don't need to. Just keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye on him and make sure he doesn't blitz.
Yeah. And I mean, we should be able to score. I think we should at least be able to score in the 20s against guys.
I think so, too.
I mean, I believe that should happen. It's really how our defense, if our defense can respond after last week, a crap game. They played pretty good against Buffalo. But they didn't get any turnovers. This is going to be raining. The ball should, if they can get a couple turnovers in this game and, you know, we win the turnover battle. It seems like if we can win the turnover battle at all, we should win. Because the last 2 weeks, we lost the turnover battle and, you know.
Split those games.
So one thing I want to mention I think is really funny. Adam Humphreys. signed a huge contract last year. It was like 10, 12 million a year or something.
It was 8 or 10.
Dude's got 374 yards.
Yeah.
Two TDs.
The Titans paid him more money than the Patriots.
Chose to go there over the Patriots, and you suck there. So, you know what? I'm happy about that. Is he playing or is he hurt?
Oh, no, he played.
Because that's pathetic.
Well, I mean, A.J. Brown has taken over that lead role, and then they still have Corey Davis, who they took top five like 3 years ago. So he gets a ton of time. They work a lot with their tight ends. We should mention that.
Yeah, Taja. Delanie Walker's hurt, so it's that Fursker dude?
No, it's Jonnu Smith.
Oh, Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith for them. I should note, I mean, it's not all about Derrick Henry in the run game. A lot of it has to do with this offense. Really, really. Taylor Lewan missed the first four games of the season because of a suspension. It's no surprise that they didn't fare very well. They were over that stretch.
What did he get suspended for?
For performance. And he said
he did.
Yeah, he came out and said that he should have been more careful about whatever. He didn't. He basically said he had a supplement that had some, which is
okay.
The Edelman story as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jonnu Smith has really come on at tight end. He's a third-year player out of Florida who's been playing pretty well. But yeah, back to the offensive line. Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, who was a longtime player for the Rams.
Yeah, now he's a guard.
What happened with their offensive line after he left. Ben Jones at center, who came over for years back, their starter. At right guard, Nate Davis, I think about him. And at right tackle, Jack Conklin, who's had an up-and-down career so far, but he was a top-10 pick. He was a first-team All-Pro as a rookie. Had a tough second year. He's come back stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tajay Sharp, gotta have a shout-out to the UMass guy. He's been making plays. That's another reason that Humphreys hasn't been on the field that much.
Humphreys getting cut.
You think he's getting cut already?
Getting cut. I wouldn't want to pay someone $12 million a year to sit the bench.
I think it was that much, but it was about 10.
$10 million, I'm sorry. 10.
Yeah.
For 374 fucking yards. Yeah, see you later.
So,
and then they still got Deion Lewis. Is he hurt?
He's not hurt. Derrick Henry had to sit out a game for an injury, and Deion was their starter. I think that might have been, and he just Well, he doesn't fit their classic offense, which is Derrick Henry standing 7-8 yards behind the quarterback under center.
Yeah,
Deion Lewis is not that back. He's a shotgun stand on your side.
Right,
he's that type back. So trying to run your typical offense, just not a good fit. Like if you run shotgun with Derrick Henry, that's not his best utility.
Right.
More thing I wanted to mention about the Titans, much like the Patriots, they have had a lot of turnover at kicker this season. They've gone through four kickers. Most recently, Ryan Succop, who's always been their starter for years and years, he went on IR. So they bring in this guy named Greg Joseph, but he's their current kicker. Their punter is Brett Kern, who's actually the Pro Bowler, so good punter. But you know, you're talking about January football, hostile environment. With weather.
Shit weather.
Fourth string kicker. I mean, Nick Folk has been practicing outside with the Patriots for months now. He's looked good. Well,
he was always an outdoor quarterback, too.
Outdoor kicker.
I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. Kicker.
Yeah. But he's looked good. I feel like they're managing expectations with him where they're not trying every 49-yard field goal.
No, they're playing it.
Most of the time, we're going to try to get you inside 42.
Right. He's been pretty good. I mean, this dude, Greg Joseph, he hasn't attempted a field goal yet.
Well, there you go. There you go. Imagine a more pressure kick.
Right. 9 for 9 with extra points. Hasn't somehow attempted a field goal yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Didn't think someone would come when we could play someone with a worse kicking situation than us. But here it is. Maybe it bites them in the ass.
I know. When, right after the Patriots lost to the Dolphins, I thought, they're probably not going to be. I thought it was just them folding. They're done for this. But then the more I think about it, this isn't that
No.
For them to have a couple stumbles late in the season, maybe put themselves behind where their expectations had them.
And they're Belichick's old coaches. Yeah, of late, he really hasn't been good against them.
And guess what? He's going against Dean Pease. He's going against Mike Vrabel, a guy that played for him.
Yeah.
And the last time the Titans and Pats played with the exact same coaching staff on the Titans side.
They beat the shit out of us.
They kicked our ass. I mean, they had Matt LaFleur at offense.
Still.
Yeah, they crushed us.
They crushed us. It was that last year?
That was last year. I was there. It sucked.
So, a revenge game. See, and then you went to Houston, too. Stop going to away games.
Sorry, man.
Stop going to games. That's it.
I had a three-game winning streak, and then it's been a three-game losing streak since then. So these things come and go. Yeah. All right. What do you got for a score in this game?
What do I give them?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right, I got Pats 20-16. I know that the Titans are good in the red zone. They're actually one of the worst teams 16, defensively huh? in the run. Yeah,
a lot of field goals.
I feel like the Pats are gonna stuff them up once they get into the red zone. I think they're gonna give up rushing yards but the reason being is because they're gonna keep safeties back to make sure that Derrick Henry doesn't break any harder. I think they're gonna give him a lot of 7 yarders, a lot of seven, and then when it gets into the red area, that space and those 7 to 9 yard runs, 2 and 4. I don't think Tannehill's going to play that well. I think the pass defense is going to have a bounce back. Both of these teams are playing on short week. Titans have to travel. Patriots don't.
Yeah, I think the weather made a good point about the passing game for them with weather. They really haven't. The Titans, I mean, Tennessee's pretty damn nice. The last so many games, was at Raiders. In a dome with the Colts at Carolina months ago when it was probably pretty nice. I mean, they really haven't played any weather games all year. So I think that's going to be a pretty big factor for them passing-wise. I think they score 2 touchdowns. They'll give them 14 points. I think our defense has a good bounce back. And I'll say we score 21, all touchdowns.
All touchdowns. 21-14. You heard it here. The other games, Sunday. We got Minnesota at New Orleans. I got to take the Saints out. I would like to see Minnesota win, but
no
the
way.
Saints are tough at home.
Yeah, there's no way.
And they're going to have absolutely no answer for Michael Thomas. Xavier Rhodes is slow now. Never been a Trey Waynes fan. Mike Hughes isn't that good a cover guy. They're just screwed when it comes to.
Yeah, I think the Saints win that.
Seattle going into Philadelphia. We talked about this briefly before. I think I'm going to side with Philly.
Really?
No, I'm not. I can't. I don't know. I don't know what to take. I think maybe
Seattle's going to win. Seattle has to win. Seattle's too good. I mean, they've honestly, the last 2 or 3 weeks, they really haven't looked that good. Really not at all. One thing about Seattle, I don't think we've mentioned. We mentioned about the Josh Gordon thing that he got suspended?
No, but
people know. Pretty crazy. Yeah, that's wild. Classic. He's done. You think he's done finally? Think that's it?
No, I don't. He's still in his 20s.
That's true. Jesus.
Yeah.
I think Seattle goes. I think they beat them. I don't know if it's a close or long or close game or a blowout, but I think Seattle wins.
Okay.
Easily, yeah, kind of.
Just for fun, I'll take the.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we already picked the Patriots and then the Bills, Texans.
I got Bills.
You're taking the Bills. Are you taking the Bills because you think they'll win, or are you taking the Bills because you want them to play Baltimore?
I think they'll.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Houston.
Okay.
Houston's got too much talent.
Bill O'Brien is 1-3 in playoff games.
I know. He's got to turn around at some point. He's going to go on a run. He's going to beat them, and then he's going to beat Baltimore. It's going to be amazing.
That would be great.
And then he's going to lose in the championship.
To who?
Either us or Kansas City.
Okay. He's not guaranteeing that it's going to be the Pats. Though.
But it should be the Patriots.
Let's hope.
It should be us.
All we can do is hope. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Once again, thanks to You Do It Electronics for hooking us up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoy playoff weekend. We'll be back next week, regardless of outcome, to either cry or celebrate.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, you got it. See you, Gal.
Adios.